It's 6 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. This is the Sunday show today with myself, Gwen Berry, and my guest is Cherie Foytland, and a lady activist from Rain, Louisiana. She's been with us a few times. I have a nice little piece of tape here to help introduce her to you. Please listen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me today. Listen, I came here to talk to two different kinds of people. I'd like to talk to all the moms and anyone who has had a mom. Listen, if you were there, you saw the map that Josh Fox held up, and I live in the Gulf of Mexico, where from Alabama all the way to Texas was in the red. In fact, my entire state, Louisiana, was completely in the red. So where I come from, we have a 7-acre sinkhole right now that is growing from drilling for fracking fluid that is pulling in trees and causing distress to the community. We still have BP.
Not good, huh?
We have children and old people that are sick. We have fishermen with fisheries that are collapsing so that they can't work. One industry does not get to kill another. And then I went to Texas because I felt guilty, honestly, because there was a 70-year-old woman out there stopping 1,000-pound machinery from rolling over the land that her grandfather gave her. Listen, I did do that. I chained myself to that gate, and I kept trucks from going in or out for 2 hours. I stopped that pipeline for 2 hours. But when I got up, when they pulled me up and they took me to jail, what would it have been like if another person would have come and took my place right there? They can't stop it forever.
Make that with me. Hello?
Hello?
Cherie?
Yeah.
Cherie? How did you make that I did?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up.
And what kind of can you now?
I can't. You keep cutting in and out. I'm going to try to call back.
Oh, try to call back. Hey? we're going to wait back in. Listen, can you hear? Can you hear that? We're communicating. Right. Play. The blog post. Can you hear me now?
Oh, you're still cutting in and out, in and out.
Sorry.
Can you hear me all right?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
I said, can you hear me all right?
I can hear you all right.
Okay, I'm going to try to call back one more time. Like, I can't only hear, like, every third word. Syllable, even.
Okay. I'll another word here. I'm gonna begin if sure me this on. Really good. If you at all, I'm going basic. This guy makes it cute. Okay. So, yeah, I really. Janelle, in and out to and call again. It makes it okay. All righty. Let's see if this is any better. And Cherie, are you online?
Yes, and I can hear you, too.
I used to Skype. Thank you for your patience, and I thank the chat room for their patience. And, okay, I had played the tape of the rally to stop the Keystone pipeline that was at a Bridge the Gulf rally, which was, I have to say, Cherie, a wonderful, wonderful piece of tape, dear. It was a wonderful speech, and what you're a real generations builder. That was absolutely the right thing to say at the right moment. It couldn't ever be a wrong moment to say exactly what you did, and I want to applaud you for it.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing a great job, darling. So today we're here to encourage people to first of all be aware, and second of all keep the pressure on getting a hold of the White House and Mr. Holder and the Justice Department, and not allowing a settlement to happen before a court date. Right?
That's it.
Could you please elaborate and give everybody the fullest picture?
Well, I mean, we've been through two trials now. One was, well, wasn't two, not trials now, thanks to settlements. So one was with individuals that had to do with the spill, and, you know, individual fishermen and groups and whatnot. But, and then the other one, the next one was the Department of Justice criminal trial, which they settled out. And in both cases, I mean, this, even though they had hearings, what you'd call hearings, what they'd call hearings, in both cases, neither group, I felt like, had a right to, had a chance to say their piece. In the last one, they let us come and talk 15 minutes before the judge handed down the agreement. And, I mean, it was, you obviously prearranged. There was no doubt about that. Didn't think that it wouldn't be, but
Right.
But it was just the idea that, you know, they're going through pomp and circumstance to let people come and talk and have a voice, but really there is no voice because they're not listening to the people that are speaking. In the first trial, any time anyone made an objection, they came as quick, you know, they already had their arguments in place to discount that person, even though there was quite a few who had said certain things, such as Dr. Mike at Robichaux had said that, you know, the medical settlement part was not going to include a lot of the symptoms that we're seeing here in the Gulf, and
right.
by excluding that was not fair to those people. And, you know, there was some fishing communities, too, that stood up and said that it wasn't fair to where they live that was impacted directly and more harshly than other areas and other fisheries. So they listened, but like I said, they pretty much already had decided what they were going to do, and there's a lot of work that goes into a settlement, if you think about it, you know, on both sides, on the DOJ side and on BP side, and in the other case on the steering committee side for the defendants. You know, and so by the time they have this all worked out, the last thing they want to hear is somebody come in and say it's not fair, but they're not being inclusive necessarily of the community in the first place, and then kind of setting up a dog and pony show for people to come tell, you know, what they need and what's going on and why they don't think it's fair. In the last case, the criminal case, many of the family members of the 11 that were killed out there stood up and said that they didn't think this was a fair settlement, and yet it was already a prearranged deal. I remember the judge said, you know, that they couldn't fix broken hearts, but, I mean, they can try to at least be fair to the people that were affected.
You
would think that they would carry the most weight. They lost their loved one.
Yes, absolutely. And also, everything that you're talking about as far as settlements go, and right now I'm going to call Jack Jodell in with us. He was late, so if you hear a dial tone, please just ignore it.
Okay.
So we're getting off to a good start. But everything that you're saying about what isn't being looked at, what isn't being addressed about people's health issues, and of course the environment, is all going to fall back on ultimately on the United States government, which is, Jack, I've called you into the show.
Yeah, good. There was some problem, maybe atmospheric disturbance. I don't know what it was, but I didn't get your calls.
Oh my.
They clearly went through because I just retrieved them from my recorder, but I don't understand this.
Okay, we were right in the middle of something, but
I'm sorry.
Getting a feedback on yours. Let me call you in again, okay?
All right, okay, I'll be up. I'll run up the other phone. Okay, bye.
Okay. I'm sorry, Cherie.
That's okay.
And what I was trying to say was it's all going to fall back on the country and ultimately the citizens and everyone in the community that ends up paying for this in so many different ways. But basically the cost, the bucks that will come out of taxpayers' dollars to cover everything. So it makes no sense really for the politicians to be playing patty cake with BP because there's really in the long term, I don't think, and it certainly hasn't played out before in these kinds of things, to be of any benefit to the community or any benefit to the industry itself. It's a total it's the happy Chinese New Year, and this is what they call a Chinese fire drill around the car, you know?
Yeah.
And
I must say, though, that for the first time probably since this whole thing started 3 years ago, for the most part, you know, everybody's kind of on the same side. And that is being, if you think about, you know, what's important to politicians, it's always money, right? So
mm-hmm.
we're talking about the Clean Water Act fines and how much money is going to be coming down the pike to restore the Gulf of Mexico.
Right,
now, hopefully
right.
we'll have a regional citizens oversight. I mean, that's another thing that we're fighting for. It was recommended in the Oil Spill Commission report that the president put in place. And Alaska had one within a few months of their spill up there. And we would like to be able to have citizen oversight of the industry itself, paid for by the industry, just like they have in Alaska. And And but I have to say, like, you know, the politicians, especially on the state level, from what I understand, they're in support of going to trial too. If you think about it, they spent billions of dollars right now to make this case. Mm-hmm. And then also they're concerned about the dollars that are coming down. The AG of Alabama told us that, you know, he has an airtight case, airtight. He's not worried that if this goes to trial that there may be less money. So the only good thing is, you know, there's no bad thing that's going to come out of supporting this, is what I'm trying to say, for the politicians, that is.
Right.
You know, except that the people that are, of course, so far in bed with the industry that they're being puppeted by the industry, which they're out there. Probably more than I'd hope, you know. But the good news is on the state level, at least, it looks like, and we have friends up in D.C. Like, as a matter of fact, I'm leaving here in a couple of days. I'm heading to D.C. I'm going to meet with the DOJ. We have a Gulf Coast delegation going up. And we're
wonderful.
Really pushing this petition that's out in CARE 2. I can't think of the name right now, but it's important if you go on Facebook and you put in a BP settlement, no BP settlement, it should come up.
Well,
but we're going to take that petition
here,
and also
yeah.
the sign-on letter that we have for some groups around the Gulf, and even national groups have signed on, including 350 and Government Accountability Project has signed on to this letter saying, let's go all the way and let's hold these suckers accountable for once, you know,
yeah.
and try to get some kind of justice here.
Absolutely. And so you're off to D.C. to go up with a group of people from the Gulf to talk to are you going to be speaking with the Attorney General or just his offices?
I'm sure just his offices, but we are going to meet with the DOJ. That's one of the people on our list, and we're going to meet with some allies that we've had all along.
Absolutely.
Like, Congressman Markey and Senator Nadler. And a few other people that really have tried to hold BP, you know, to the fire. And we're going to meet with them and hopefully elicit some of their help in helping to put pressure on here and showing that there is public pressure to go all the way. And the biggest reason is, like I said before, I probably wouldn't mind this if it wasn't for the fact that BP has one of the worst records in history.
Absolutely.
As far as, like, worker safety or being responsible to the environment. I mean, they're what... an EPA administrator called it one time a serial corporate killer and a serial corporate polluter. In 1999, they had the same thing they just got in this criminal plea, a 5-year probationary period and a felony. In that case, they had a felony conviction, and that was for illegal dumping offshore in 1999. I mean, in 2001, they had neglected key equipment and caused a 200,000-gallon pipeline spill in Alaska. Right after that happened, they got found guilty of intimidating workers who had raised safety concerns.
Right. I remember
that. In 2002,
they
discovered that BP had falsified inspections of fuel tanks in Los Angeles. In 2005, there was an emergency warning system that failed in Texas City Refinery that killed 15 workers. And after they did, they went around and checked those refineries that they had in the U.S., all five of them, they found significant process safety issues, and that's a quote.
Wow.
The Chemical Safety Board came out and said, they did a report against Texas City and said, yes, that there was significant process safety issues with MBP, right?
Wow.
Then just fast forward to 2011, the Chemical Safety Board did another report on the Deepwater Horizon and said the exact same thing. Nothing has changed. In 2008, they had a high-pressure gas line blow up on the Alaskan slope, and three of the exact same things happened in 2009. Then in 2008, they had a Caspian Sea blowout that was identical to the Deepwater Horizon. And then in 2010, they had the Deepwater Horizon, and they have done nothing but try to deflect liability for themselves since that time.
Wow.
These people are, you know, at a certain point, you know, you want to claim that these people are these corporations are people, that's fine. Well, at some point, if I kill enough people, I can expect to get the death penalty. This corporation deserves the death penalty. They do not deserve to continue to work in our Gulf. And not just, I'm not talking about probation. I mean, they need to be gone, dissolved.
Yeah. Well, they're corporate, they are irresponsible to the point of murdering not just people and place. I would love for you to bring out the names and speak a little about, let people know who have been your allies on what we perceive often now as the other side of the street. In other words, who have been the good politicians and the people in the corporate positions who have been honestly trying to work with you? Because I hear you talk about that like you were just before, and I think it's really important that folks hear this and know that it's not all banging a head against the wall. You follow?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you mean by, like, politicians or allies on the ground?
Allies, politicians and allies on the ground, wherever you have had them, wherever the groups you've been working with have shown up, just so that folks are realizing who the good guys are.
Oh, man, you would be surprised how big the network is at this point of good people that are working on these issues. BP may not be their only issue, but they're continuing to keep the light on this, you know, shine the light on the roaches and rats, which is, you know what, Dick Gregory told me is the way to get people, you know, to get them to scatter. And I agree. And so that would be, like, here in the Gulf, that would be Louisiana Environmental Action Network, has been doing great work as far as people's health. And then we have Gulf Restoration Network that's been working, I think it's for 10 years, maybe 20, I can't remember, but on on coastal erosion. We have indigenous peoples in South Louisiana from several different nations that have joined in the call, fishing families. We have the Go Fish Coalition that have been working for fishermen, as well as, I don't want to say it because it's too long, but the out there in Alabama, the fish cooperatives, and a lot of people are banding together at this point. And I'm not sure, I couldn't say that they're all saying, let's all go to trial, because I know a lot of them are really suffering at this point. But I can say that they've been holding BP's feet to the fire from the beginning.
Yeah.
On the national side, we have the Government Accountability Project, 350.org's been. We have Texas Tar Sands Blockade, just signed onto the letter as well.
Yeah.
Mothers for Sustainable Energy. I mean, there is a network of people that really, really care about this and are trying to get information out and trying to do everything that they can to help out, from D.C. all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. The problem is we're stepping up against a multi-billion dollar mogul. Let me tell you, Tony Hayward, who used to be the CEO of BP, but he got bought out. Luckily, he got his life back, and he got a lot of cash to take with him for the rest of his life. Back in 2007, he was saying that when he came in, he had new plans to slash management layers. So he went from 11 to 7. And he said that assurance is killing us. He said that back in 2007. He was saying that too many people were engaged in the decision-making process and that BP was being excessively cautious. And he was being critical of safety performance, right? So what he did is he came in and he took money and, even worse, people with all that those years of experiences out of the safety processes in BP.
Wow.
That, he's responsible for that. And then if you flash forward to 2008, he had a little program. It was called Every Dollar Counts. And what he did was he mandated a 7% reduction in the cost of all drilling operations in the Gulf of Mexico that included safety operations, and a 20% reduction of experienced senior management.
Jeez.
He took the people out that had the knowledge, and then he took away the funds to provide safety. And this man ended up with a $930,000 annual pension, $18 million to go on his way, $16.5 million, if BP continues to make money. That's the man that should be in jail, not these low-level workers on these rigs.
Oh, no, I don't think any – well, really, I don't think anyone actually who's thinking about it, especially activists right now who are working so hard to bring some – to, as you say, put BP's feet to the fire and to bring about some resolutions that are solutions to the problems that grow every day from this horrible, you know, disaster that it's still going on out there, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. You should have seen, there was pictures of Grand Isle, I want to say Mac McKenzie put up less than a month ago, and it looked like they had somebody had let a herd of cows out on the beach, and they had let cow patties everywhere, except there weren't cow patties. They were big old tar balls.
Right, right.
You know,
saw that.
Yeah, I mean, so there's still, and that's another question, isn't it? How can you settle on something when you still really don't know
the extent of the damage?
And part of the reason we don't know that, by the way, is because you know, some of these groups, like NOAA, NOAA in particular,
right.
They know that there's been elevated amounts of death of wildlife, especially dolphins in the Gulf, and they are keeping all of that research secret for this trial, for the civil trial. What my fear is, once someone settles, usually they put something in that clause that makes you be quiet. You can't go back and say, I got this much money or whatever. And I'm afraid they're gonna shut down all that science. All that science that has been taken that could tell us what is happening. These people that are doing the 10-year study on people's health down here, well, if you talk to them one-on-one, they'll tell you straight up. They're seeing a lot of sicknesses, and they'll tell you exactly what the sicknesses are, right?
Right.
But that's not going to come out until 10 years from now. In order for us to know what happened at this point so we can deal with the continuing devastation, we need full disclosure of that science. We need full disclosure of what happened on that rig. Those poor men on that rig spent 8 weeks trying to get help from London, from BP, from anyone that would listen. You can go on my page and you can see where I printed emails that were coming from them saying something is horribly wrong and how they were shut down flippantly back in Houston.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that cause was because the guy that was answering the phone back in Houston had only been on doing this for a few years, because all the experienced guys had been fired because Tony Hayward wanted to save a buck.
Right. Right.
That's the man that needs to go. And nothing is going to change in this industry. Nothing is going to change to protect workers or protect our coasts or protect our environment until someone is charged a heck of a lot higher up than the company man that is on the rig.
Agreed. Well,
and the only way that's going to happen is if there's a full trial that brings out all of this stuff and all of the decisions that executive made that put people at risk out there. I mean, I understand that rig was supposed to be somewhere else at that time. That rig was so far over budget that the people on the rig who thought they were going to get bonuses weren't, because the bonuses had been used up.
Jeez.
But you know what? Anytime you have safety that's reliant, anytime you have safety decisions that are reliant on a bonus, there's something wrong with that in the first place.
Well,
that means
that
those guys out there get hurt. They're not going to tell you that they're hurt because their bonus, their money that's going to go into to feed their families is on the line.
On the line, right. It's all about money, yeah. Got it. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to put somebody in jail? That's the dude that needs to go. And the only way that anybody's going to, and probably many underneath him, but the only way anybody's going to see that is if that thing goes all the way to court and all that information comes out pretty much on a daily basis in the press. The press is ready to go. They're just waiting to hear what they're supposed to say like they always do. If this stuff comes out, then we can get that stuff out there. And then we have a way to protect our people in the future.
Agreed.
We have a way to stop this from happening. I wrote a blog not too long ago about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, absolutely. It changed workers' lives in this country for good. Yes.
Exactly. Basically, there was a huge fire, killed a bunch of poor immigrant women because they had bolted and, I mean, chained all the doors, the exits shut.
Right.
But do you know that the people that caused that, the managers, they were acquitted on all charges? They never served jail time.
Not a bit. You're absolutely
right?
Correct.
What happened was the only reason anything changed is because it went to civil trial. And when it did, all of that information came out, and people saw that there was a process safety issue within the industry, within factoring, its factory jobs itself. When people saw that, then laws begin to move and things begin to change. And this is the same exact position we're in now. If we don't push for a full trial, there can probably be no change. And why do I say that? Why can I say that with such assurance? I can say that because the Oil Spill Commission has put out their report and nothing's been done. Not really. The ERT has put out a report and they just changed the name and did something different, hoping for the best. Hopefully there's money to come down to fulfill some of their issues.
Yeah.
My point is, you can have commissions all day long. Until someone is actually held responsible, nothing is going to change. And that's what we need in the Gulf of Mexico more than anything else.
Well, and you speak about responsible media, national media and international media. I'm thinking you're meaning too easily. I mean,
the one network you would think would be giving us some wonderful coverage and did was Rachel Maddow was down here and did some wonderful work before, well, she quit doing that and quit covering it. You'll find the one of the networks that has the most BP commercials go to the Gulf kind of thing going on is over at MSNBC. Frankly, I don't think much of what you call major the mainstream news. I don't think that it, I think it's corporate propaganda for the most part. And it's the drumlines of smaller independent media that are making, and outside of this country, Al Jazeera has covered the Gulf crisis better than most of
Al Jazeera's been great. Greg Palast, in my opinion, the last investigative reporter and he works with BBC, so I guess on the history of the earth. But you know, he's actually coming out and said a lot of stuff on BP, and a lot of his research has fallen into my research because he's done such great work. There's Dar Jamal. We have Rocky Kistner with NRDC. We have good people that are willing to put the information out. We have Brenton Mock with The Nation. And Bridge the Gulf. Bridge the Gulf is that's what they do. And
yeah.
I'm lucky to be a part of them, and they honor me with letting me be there. They do citizen based journalism, which means they go into a community and they say, what does your community need? How is your community dealing? And they let the people say it in their own voice.
That's
those things. Those groups are incredibly important, and those people are incredibly important in getting it out. But if it's not palatable, people are not going to understand it. And if people don't start pushing it around and saying this is an important issue, then we have no hopes of that happening.
This might be a sidebar, but it really for me isn't with the little, you know, splashes I do here from this seat. How important has social media been in getting the word out? Like Facebook and Tumblr?
Incredibly important. Look where I'm talking today. I mean, I'm on the internet, but
right.
In fact, I think this is probably the first, as far as I know, maybe no, not even after Katrina. This is the first time that we've had a major disaster that people, I think, have really come together through social media. Facebook has been great. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you get your bad things out of it too. But you know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We couldn't do the work that we do without YouTube because we have people from Florida to Texas that go out on those beaches every day and take videos and film and put that up. We have some really great people. We have, you know, Laurel Lockamy, you know, Charles Taylor. We have so many. Denise Rednar one time. We have Lori Williams. So many just great people that are just citizens that just know this is the right thing to do.
Right.
And because they love their area, they're willing to go out there every day, sometimes risking sickness themselves. I can't tell you all the heroes that are wrapped up in this thing. I'm the least of that. You have no idea how many wonderful, wonderful, compassionate, passionate, intelligent people are doing everything they can, almost in silence at times, to try to restore our Gulf Coast.
Wonderful. It's good to hear these things. And like I was saying, it's good to know who the allies are so that people who've listened to this, and we've built a pretty good audience up, and folks will listen and they'll hear and they'll know. Talk to me about some of the politicians who have allied you in Washington and in your state.
Yeah, God bless A.G. Crow, man. He came up and he tried to put an anti-dispersant bill twice up, and of course the lobbyists and I knock it down. They're like the defense of the state. Unfortunately, I live in the state of Louisiana, so we sold out a long time ago, and it's more unfortunate that most of the politicians are in the pocket of the oil and gas industry. I can name a couple few, but I can't off the top of my head. But I remember A.G. Crow in particular because I'm a big fan. And then on the federal level, Gerald Nadler tried to do the exact same thing, and his bill just kind of sat there. It's still sitting there. And from what I've heard, he'll have to reintroduce that. And then we have Ed Markey, Waxman. We have just a handful of people that maybe still have a little bit of integrity left, you know, and are trying as hard as they can to hold, you know, BP accountable. Even ISA, who, I mean, he's a staunch Republican. And it probably is because he just, you know, doesn't like the president and wants to say something against him. But what he put in that report that he put out, and you can go look it up, in, uh-huh. I think it was 2011, that was the truth on all sides.
Wow. That's stuff you got to hear. People should know this. People should be, you know, looking on both sides of the road as they're walking down the middle, you know. It's not just all coming from one place. Tell me a little bit about coming up to this trial, and specifically, folks who tune in and give a listen to this show, what can they do besides calling into, I mean, are there petitions they can pass around through their networks? And I did put the link for the petition you have for no settlement for BP until full disclosure. What else can be done, Cherie?
I just want to add Barbara Boxer to that list I just gave because she's been great, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a petition that's on CARE, too, and I think we put the goal at 1,000 we're trying to reach before we go to, you know, get up there in D.C. Mainly it's just sharing information, man. Everybody was right there. The 86 days this thing was just gushing into the Gulf. You know, everybody was right there taking pictures every time a pelican got oiled or a fisherman, you know, broke down because worries about the future. Wow, that 80-some days were gone. But after, as soon as the president got on TV and said most oil was gone, which was not true, he was being told a lie, then as soon as that happened, though, people kind of turned it off, and they went on to the next big thing. So I'm going to have to ask people to come back and revisit this issue. So much has happened between then and then. So many people, so much wildlife has been lost. So much damage has been done and made worse. And, you know, unfortunately, sadly, in this country right now, you know, of the people that are awake, there's so many people more that are asleep to anything that's not celebrity issues. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have a big-time celebrity that's looking at this. And I wish that we did. I mean, if Daryl Hannah was down here in the Gulf, well, she was in the Gulf, you know, standing up to the pipeline. I love Daryl Hannah, but I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, get people involved. We have got to get people involved. Right. And I know that not everybody can do what I do. Not everybody can comb the beaches taking pictures either. But what you can do is sign that petition and pass it on. You can say this to your family members, to your friends. This is something that I care about. You know, this
about
is something
it, yeah.
that affects all of us. This is America's Gulf Coast. This is not just the people that live here.
Yeah,
Gulf
well,
Coast.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I've been saying for quite a while now that it seems as though the southeast of this country is, you know, from Texas on over to me over here in Florida, even on my east coast. It's as if we're being poisoned to death. It's like we're getting kicked off the continent or something.
Well, definitely we are the sacrifice zone, energy sacrifice zone
right.
for sure of the nation,
yeah.
and chemical sacrifice zone. I mean, you know, they're trying to put an injection well right up the street, less than 10 miles from where, you know, it gets rid of toxins. They put it down into the wells, just right up the street from us, and people have been fighting it for about a year. But it looks like it's going through as far as I can tell. I mean, there's been no major changes. And I'm talking, I am not kidding you when I say it's less than an acre from a private property well.
Well, I have to ask you, you were talking about important information. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump you there. I have to ask you about getting notoriety with a celebrity, because you're right. When they do put their hand on something, it does get noticed, especially by the major media, which causes a conversation on a national level. I thought that Peter Fonda and somebody else had done an actual movie about the Gulf.
There is a movie out. It's called, help me out. What's the name of the movie?
Yeah, let me get on the net here.
There's been The Big Fix.
The Big Fix,
big
that's
fix.
It.
Yeah, there's been quite a few movies out and about, and I don't know what happened to The Big Fix. Hopefully they're still out there and still, but if you know, that's a good,
they
that's
did.
It's
they
good, you know, it's good. It has all stuff, and I'm really glad that he got involved. I need him to come back. I need Steve Baldwin to come back, you know, I need... You know,
how about Brad Pitt?
Brad that's it. Thank you. That's the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, and get people involved. But besides them, I brought the celebrities because I know that celebrities get immediate attention,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But besides that, you know, there's the
we
people
need to
that
wake
are
everybody
up.
We really
yeah,
do.
You know, just outside of golf and inside the golf too. I mean, honestly, I got people who live next door to me that have no idea the intricacies of what's happening.
Yeah.
You know.
I believe.
And they don't have the time. I understand that.
I get where you're coming
but
from.
But I need people to sign a petition. I need people to call the DOJ. If you live in the Gulf of Mexico, call your AG, your attorney general, and ask them politely. And we don't have to go to them like and be angry about this. But what we do have to go to them and be firm and say, if you're going to represent me in my interest, this is what I expect to happen. And that's to go through a full trial for BP. You know, I want to know. I want full disclosure. I want a full trial.
This is the conversation we need to get going whatever way we can in every direction that we're communicating with our neighbors and our social networks, wherever we go, whatever we do, awaken folks to what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, we if nothing else, we owe it to those 11 guys. And
we do.
Aside from that, we owe it to the tens of thousands of wildlife that's washed up since and the fishermen that are still dealing with this economically.
Well, and there's the health issues that are running through the Gulf area that are just there's no help for it yet. How are things going down that way?
Well, I mean, there's still, like I said, ecological damage that's kind of washing in every time there's a good storm out there. And there's still people that are sick. I feel like the people that had a pre-existing condition and the cleanup workers are probably worse.
Yeah.
And then followed by the children and the older people.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to spray those dispersants. They have no idea what these dispersants do. They haven't done. They'll tell you. They'll straight out tell you. You know, we have not done the research and experimentation it takes to see what the damage is going to be from those dispersants. But at the same time, they're fitting shallow water rigs with dispersant sprayers at this time. I mean, it's the Coast Guard considers. I said this before on your show. I remember. You know, that we went to Clean Gulf, and when we were at Clean Gulf, the ConocoPhillips, the guy that was the leader of this new safety consortium they made after the spill between all the oil companies, he said the burning of oil and the use of dispersants is no longer considered an alternative option. It is the option. So now every time there's a little oil out there, which there is every day, Taylor Energy oil rig's been leaking for years now, they're going to spray it with these dispersants, even though they know, and they have no idea what's in them. And in some cases, they're illegal in other countries. My friends tell me they're spraying up in the marsh. I don't know that to be true because I've never seen it, but I don't see why they'd fit to me about
it. I've heard that myself. I know a couple of nurses who have been working along the coastline with people trying to work with alternative homeopathy and naturopathic remedies to bring some kind of help. And they're seeing a lot of different things with small boat captains touring around, and it's not good. It's out of hand.
We're still having a loss of wildlife that is much higher, mortality rates that are much higher than we've seen before and for much longer time than we've seen before.
Well,
I'm not a scientist. I never claimed to be a scientist or a doctor or anything. I'm just a mom who, when I got down to it and started looking around in the midst of a disaster, realized that there were people out there that were going to be lost.
Right.
And I mean everything from their livelihood to their lives. And I got really concerned with it and did a lot of studying. And anytime somebody gave me a chance to talk, I talked about it. Nothing more than that. But I will say that.
I'd say you've done a bit more than that.
But I will say this. You know, we have an opportunity here.
Yes.
We're at a pinnacle in the BP fight right now. And we have an opportunity to make those decisions of whether this is a path that we are going to continue to allow people to lead us down. A path that we know leads to damage and despair and destruction and death
mm-hmm.
on many levels.
Right.
Or we can take the reins for once. We can be proactive and we can pull hard in 1 week. This next week we're asking everybody to fight hard and pull towards truth and pull towards justice and towards fixing our gulf as much as we can. I mean, to some degree, the damage has been done, and we all have to face that. But there are things that we can do to help right now, and even more importantly, there's things we can do to keep the damage from being worse.
Yeah. And I agree with you, Sheree.
And protect our people out in those rigs.
Yeah, because that's still going on until they realize that green is the place to put the money, and not in military, but in energy that makes sense for the environment and humanity. We're going to have to take it one step at a time. I really appreciate your message here. I want to be able to get everything we can spoken out on the show here for people who are listening and who will listen, and let them know that it's all about this week getting the conversation up and knowing to call the DOJ in Washington. And as you said, even your state DOJ, that's the Department of Justice. It's the Attorney General of your state. And this transcends party affiliations. It transcends everything we're talking about, the health of communities and the environment. So there's only one direction to go, and that's, as Sheree was saying, full speed awake.
Absolutely.
I really thank you for coming on and giving us the update and letting us know. I have to ask you about your time in Texas. I read about it. I've seen videos. How many times have you been arrested now, Sheree?
I'm getting pretty good at it. Let's see. BP once in front of the BP office in New Orleans. Texas once, twice for Keystone. Wait. No, once for Keystone. So it's three times altogether. And that's something that's in the toolbox of things to do. But when things get down to a point, you know, Dr. King, I've read a lot of his stuff, and even he said, you know, when it comes down to it where you've negotiated, and there's only one thing left to do, peaceful protest is the way to go, I feel like. And that's a tool in the toolbox that I've used. I don't know how helpful it's been, but I do know that, you know, we brought attention to the issue, that's for sure, and that's the most important thing. And we got people rallied up. And I feel like if you show courage, then other people will – you know, try to have courage themselves, and maybe they get led to, you know, a petition. Maybe not everybody's supposed to go out there and get arrested. And I try not to do that, you know, unless it's, I think it's really, really important.
Did you get arrested in D.C. with Bill McGibbon up there with the Occupy for the Earth, or?
Yeah, I was arrested in D.C. fighting the Keystone Pipeline. On the original, I think there was like 1,200 people arrested, you know. That was before we did the ring around the White House. We've done that one, too.
Wow.
So, well, we didn't get arrested that time, thankfully. But you know, like I said, this is just something, this is a way, and we know it works. I mean, that's what we know from, you know, past movements that it does work. And we know, I think if we're using that as the same time that we're reaching out to people, trying to find allies, that we're electing good people into office that deserve to be there,
right.
You know, as long as we're doing things like that concurrently,
mm-hmm.
then it's a great way to go.
All of the positive steps we can take without actually picking up the pitchforks and hammer handles, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Darlin, I really appreciate you coming on. I wanted to get a little touch on everything. You said something interesting at the very beginning about something I'm also keeping an eye on, and I've had John, you turned me on to John Eshe over there in Assumption Parish. What's the skinny on the sinkhole? How is it doing as of this week?
It keeps growing. Last I heard it was at 9 acres. Maybe no, last I heard it was at 9.5 acres and still growing.
Oh, God.
They don't know what they're doing out there. I mean, they don't know how to fix it. I don't think they're going to fix it. Even Dr. Super said they're not going to fix it. It's just going to get bigger. Last I saw, they were looking at the 7 caverns altogether, hoping that there wasn't a breach of all 7 caverns, salt caverns. You know, poor John, he's just a really good dude. That's what he is. And
he's been
trying everything he can to get it out. But in the same way that I wasn't able to get the president to come down and see the real truth of what's going on, he hasn't been able to get the governor to come down and see the real truth. I mean, the governor's been within miles of that place, and he avoids it like it's the plague.
Well, of course, yes.
I couldn't speculate as to why, except that CNN's not down here covering the sinkhole. And maybe, when it does, maybe that'll change. But
that'll get him down there, Tootsie Sweet, yes.
yeah. But also, too, even I think locally they have a good group of people that are working on it locally in local government. But I think once you get past that, I mean, we live in a place where industry regulates itself. That means they're responsible for reporting. They're responsible for how much they underreport just almost religiously, and they're responsible for the cleanup, and they're responsible for, the PR afterwards. And they outgun the government by so much money that even the government doesn't have a voice in protection to people anymore. Even the government's lame and impotent when it comes to standing up for people. Because corporations are just, they run roughshod over entire communities. Do you know that they get chemicals and drill underneath these poor people, and that these people don't even have mineral rights? They don't even know how the mineral rights got given away.
Listen, one of my friends, Julia Trigg Crawford out there in Texas, TransCanada, eminent domained her without even having the permits yet.
Oh, and absolutely.
She's going on.
I mean, another case is Keystone Pipeline. Yeah, the landowners, they've had their rights trampled all over. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they just can't afford to fight. They fight and fight and fight. And they can just outlast us. When a corporation's a person, corporations don't die. They don't, and they have unlimited amounts of money and resources. They can outlast us.
When you say corporations are people, when we're coming up with this trial and getting BP culpable for what has happened, I mean, that corporate personhood should come into play. Whoever the attorneys for the plan, the attorneys for the people are, they should be able to bring that into play. I mean, it would be beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Go look at Ricky Ott's stuff. She does a lot of work around Citizens United and fighting Citizens United, and I apologize that I can't remember the name of the website, but I'm sure if you go look up Ricky Ott, you'll find it somewhere.
Right.
And go look up her stuff. She's really fighting that fight, and it's incredibly important fight as far as the future. I keep talking about the trial for BP, but that only affects it affects the entire Gulf Coast, but the people at BP and also the industry in the future. But if there was any way to repeal Citizens United, then we would not be having this conversation right now.
Well, and the other part about what you just said too, Cherie, you're saying that it only really involves the Gulf Coast, but that's not really true. We've got a yo-yo in Tallahassee right now that's opening up drilling rights on my coastline here.
I agree. And it's all up and down.
I mean, we got all these fish that are coming ashore in droves that are dead. It's because there isn't enough oxygen in the water for them. They hit a pocket of no oxygen, and that's because of the petroleum pollution, whether it's by plastic or it's by crude. And it's all over the oceans on this planet you're talking about. And what this BP trial can do is become a flag for the whole of Oceania on this planet. It's not that small. It's pretty large.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't mean to downplay it. It's just when you really stepping outside of the oil industry, I mean, step into the chemical industry if you want to. I mean, step into food and how they're, the lack of organics and the GMOs and all that stuff. That's because these corporations have personhood.
Right.
You know, they have the right to do these things. They have the right to keep information from us because, you know, to protect their money, you know. When I say that, I mean Citizens United, repealing Citizens United would not just affect the oil industry. It would affect all corporations across the board and put the power back into the hands of the people where it was supposed to be in the first place.
I hear you. I hear you. And I think many of us are in that direction. The big message here tonight, other than the number one of getting in touch with your Attorney General per state and the Attorney General in D.C., Eric Holder, and talk about this and say we got to bring BP to trial, the other big message is just that. It's not just one. It's many causes.
Absolutely. And keep reaching out, you know, sharing information, of course, but I had something else I was going to say. Oh, keep reaching out and supporting that Regional Citizens Advisory Committee. That's not the answer to everything, but to have citizen oversight by people that are in and out of the industry, would be able, regular people that would be able to say, this is not a good decision for the people, someone to represent the people
right.
of the Gulf of Mexico. That is very important. Like I said, they have it in Alaska, and why we've been denied that, it just... To me, further proof that where we live is already considered a sacrifice zone for the nation, so it's pretty much been written off, but also that our representation is so bought out. They can fathom to swallow the idea that the citizens might actually know what's going on and be involved in that.
You're right. Yeah,
you know, because if they did, I guarantee you that they would see things differently. If they saw how this was impacting their children and their livelihoods for the future, then they would see that, you know, there's other options out there, or at least just open their mind enough to take a look at the other options that are out there. I'm working with a group called Green Grants, and what we're trying to do is set up these help for people that live in low-income minority communities in order to use grants, state and federal, in order to get green energy, solar panels on their houses.
Wonderful.
And if we do that, it gives these people, first of all, social currency within their community. But also, at a certain level, it cuts their energy bill by 75%. So if we get the older people first to be able to have the opportunity to be able to do this, think how much better they could live if they're electric. Because if you already own your house, really, that's your biggest bill. If we could get your energy bill down to, you know, 25% of what it once was, then that money could go into making sure you're eating, you know, green, healthy foods instead of, you know, whatever you can afford, you know, and
right.
into medical care
and
things like that.
Health.
So that's a project that I have that, you know, I've been trying to work on the side too, starting here in my own area. And people can start that in there. Those grants are available to everyone, you know, but they don't put that information out, especially here in the Gulf, because that's the last thing these oil companies want us to think. They really want us to think that we're so dependent on them that we would, you know, let them murder our dolphins and take our men and women and do all this stuff because we couldn't survive without them. That is a lie. That is a bald-faced lie.
There you go.
Other countries are. Germany, you know, the Netherlands.
Yes. Other countries are taking the initiative. And the more the money barons and the banks press down on people, the more people are getting in the streets. There is a global revolution underway, and this is all part of it. Cherie,
I think that's much more patriotic, don't you? I mean, I was saying before, it's like America. I don't think anybody's going to deny that America is like a junkie as far as like oil and coal and all these industries. Like we are totally addicted. You know, we like our computers and we like our TVs and we like our coffee in those little styrofoam cups with the little lid so it doesn't spill all over. You know, we love that stuff. We're addicted.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if you had a person in a community that was addicted to heroin, you wouldn't tell them that their life could be solved if they just bought heroin from the guy next door instead of down the street. No, you try to get them slowly off of the heroin.
Yeah.
And you do that by introducing like methadone or something like that to slowly, that they could get on immediately and then slowly get themselves off. You would take social currency to say, this is not good for you. And as a people, we are going to start moving in this direction. You know, that's what a good leader would do, I would think. What would be more patriotic than that? Everybody says we want to get off foreign oil. Well, let's get off oil altogether.
Yes, I agree.
Then there, we won't have to worry about foreign oil or our oil either. We can leave it in the ground.
It's the truth. I appreciate what you're saying. I've come to think of things in terms of, you know, you said a wonderful thing about taking a deep breath and understanding that you are breathing in the very essence of your ancestors. Well, that's my gig. It's what I do. It's what my company is about. I make those little bottles of indigenous scents that way. But the point I'm making here is that it is about, I think we are right now at a very challenging time for the species of humanity, and that's exactly what we're trying to reclaim, is our humanity. So what you're saying makes great sense. It's what it's about.
Yeah. But first we have to hold people responsible that,
yes,
that work concurrently, you know, against us and work in a way that damages our future.
We have
on
to
this
play
earth.
Within the rules that the bigger group is accustomed to, and we have to get in there and change them so that they're better. I agree with you. Thank you so much for coming over. And
thanks for having me.
Always. For giving us the information. I'll do my best to keep the drums beating this week. I'll tell my folks, and it is all about waking people up. It really is. It's about
absolutely. February 25th is the trial. So up even, you know, go past this week. From this point on, please share information. Go on Care2 and sign the petition. Call, if you live in a Gulf state, call your attorney general and tell them you want to go full press. Tell them you'll back them up. You know, we will back you up to go all the way to a full trial. And also call the attorney general up in D.C. and let him know that we are not sacrificed for the nation here in the Gulf of Mexico, and we're not going to be idle or quiet until there is some kind of justice for what has happened to us almost 3 years ago.
There you go. Absolutely. Cherie, we're at the end of it. Thank you so much for coming and enlightening. You generally do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's really important to get the message out, so I appreciate it.
I wish you well. I wish you all kinds of wonderful energy. You're doing a great job. I hope somebody's telling you that this week. I know they are.
Yeah, thank you. But the only voice that I care too much about, I guess, is my kids. And so far, they're telling me, go for it, Mom, and do your best to make a good future for us. And that just makes my heart swell thinking about it. But
that's wonderful.
It's all for them, really, you know?
That's wonderful. And how is your husband working now, back on the rigs? And
he is. He's out and in. My problem is, you know, BP being BP, who they are. They came straight out and told him that he wasn't allowed to be on BP rigs, and they came out straight out and told him it's because of the work that I do. And honestly, I'm kind of glad they did that, because they freed me up where I don't have to worry about it anymore, suffering as far as
I hear you.
You know, I can be free to tell the truth about him, which I always did, but I don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, it's been tough. You know, I mean,
I
haven't really said this to too many people, but you know, there's been death threats, and there's been bricks thrown through windows and things like that, and
I can imagine, and
this frees me from having to worry about my husband out there on the rigs, because he won't be on their rigs, and those rigs aren't safe.
There you go. Well, the very best from my house to yours, sweetie. You're doing a great job, Cherie.
Thank you. So are you putting the word out about this and many, many other issues.
Thank you, sweetie. It all goes good. Until the next time, I will bid you adieu for the evening, and we'll get that information out and paying the drums this week, and I'll keep my eye on it.
Take care. God bless.
You too. Okay, honey. Good night.
Bye-bye.
And that was Cherie Foytlin. The lady is a phenomenal activist. She's doing a job that, I mean, this is a lady who has walked from
Rain, Louisiana to Washington, D.C. to say, hey, please take a look at me. Listen to what I have to say. She's been arrested quite a few times, and she doesn't give up. She's got the big heart and the big mind. She carries a lot of information in that head concurrently with all of the issues that she cares about. She is someone to listen to. So please do on Here Be Monsters. This is Here Be Monsters for February 10th, Sunday show. Sorry that Jack wasn't with us. He will be with us next week. We had some communication problems at the very beginning of the show. This one's running a little later because we did have those problems. I want to thank all the people who came and listened in. And please, folks, out there, bang your own drums, awaken your neighbor, awaken folks around you to the real issues and what's going on, because the mainstream media simply is not doing it. Not one red bit of it. I myself, my patriotism goes to Mama Earth, Pachamama, not to the United States, but these are the boundaries that we have to play within and live within and work within and be healthy or not in. So in this nation, we follow the rules here until that changes to one world and one love. This has been the Sunday Show. Thanks for listening. I'm Gwen. Be here next week with Jack at 6 p.m. Night-night.